The following program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, stick around. 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education, and every bit of it without any type of manipulation. We're not going to con you. We're not going to ask you for money. We're not going to try to sell you a book. We just want you to listen as I try to verify and identify God's plan for your life. Could I remind you of our website, please? It's simply rickhughesministries.org. rickhughesministries.org, not .com, .org. Unfortunately, there are other preachers out there with my same name. That's what's amazing to me. There are a couple of more Rick Hughes's out there, and they're not me, so I'm rickhughesministries.org. There you'll find out some of our latest books that we published. You'll also find audio books of these books where it's been recorded, so you can listen from the website. If you have a hard time reading, you know, if your eyesight's not holding up good and you want to listen, you can listen to the book on God's grace and aging. You can listen to the book on these things. You can listen to A Divine Pardon. We got all those books, audio on the website. So please check it out. And if you'd like to get some of the transcripts of our recent shows, contact us and we have all those transcripts available in printed form for you. Now, every week, my associates and I ponder and pray over what to bring to you. It's always my question, what should I pray? What should I say, Lord? What do you want me to talk about? So many of you have written me letters and emails telling me how God has used my radio show to encourage you and help you to start growing consistently. And I'm grateful for that. I'm eternally grateful for that. What an honor our Lord has given me by allowing me to visit with you every Sunday morning on this radio station. Heck, many of you even made financial gifts to assist us with the cost of purchasing time on these stations, because it's not free, but as well as printing and distributing material that we offer free of charge. So we thank you very much, but the greatest gift you could ever give us is your prayers. I request your intercessory prayer from me and for each of my associates as we maneuver our way through the year 2024. There are many obstacles, many roadblocks we have to avoid if we press on, both on the radio and also on our podcast platform, which, by the way, now has over 1,500,000 plays. So it's the teaching of the scriptures that I'm talking about here. When I accepted Christ as my Savior, that was 1967. And when that happened, I didn't have any idea what God's future plans for me included. I mean, I'm confident had the Holy Spirit not led me to the pastor of Baraka Church in Houston, Texas, I would have crashed and burned years ago, because it was his teaching of the scriptures that allowed me to understand the mechanics to the spiritual life and to discover exactly what God's plan for me entailed. Because like a lot of young Christians, I had all kind of enthusiasm, but I didn't have any direction. I mean, I attended conferences and services that appealed to my emotions, but I was not one to get emotional. It wasn't me. And eventually, I learned to calm down and stay in the Word as I waited for the Lord to reveal His plan for my life. One of the scriptures the Holy Spirit revealed to me when I was young, I found in Psalm 27:14. Would you like to hear it? I think you would enjoy it. Psalm 27:14, wait for the Lord, be strong, take heart, wait for the Lord. Notice the verb wait. It's a Hebrew verb. It's a word pronounced kavah, kavah. And it means to be patient or to tarry. And the thing that's unique about it is it's a command, not a request. It's the imperative mood verb. It's a command. You're being commanded by God the Holy Spirit not to be impetuous, but to wait on the Lord. Along with the word wait, we have the word be strong, another verb, which means to have a lot of courage or to withstand the assault. I mean, do you really think Satan's going to sit idly by if he sees that you haven't made a serious attempt to grow spiritually? If he sees you're making a serious attempt to start taking in the Word of God? If he sees you're making a serious attempt to find a real well-qualified pastor to study under, do you think he's going to sit by? He will attack, and you have to be able to withstand the assault. And the flight line's how you do that. It's all taught in Ephesians 6, 11 through 17. Read it. So be strong, wait, and take heart. What does that mean? It equates God gives you strength in your heart, in the mentality of your soul. You know, in the Bible talks about your mind, M-I-N-D, called nous in the Greek, N-O-U-S. And knowledge is gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S is the word for knowledge. But the Bible also uses a word for heart, H-E-A-R-T or K-A-R-D-I-A in the Greek, cardia. And we get an English word, cardiology, cardiac. And what does this passage say? What does it say? Take heart. This means what? What does that mean? It means in the mentality of your soul, you must have the Word of God strengthening your heart. When you hear something, you haven't gotten it yet. You have to apply it. That's why Jesus said, happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's Word and keep it. That's where the strength comes from, is the application by faith of what you heard, what you believed, and what you now do. So in this passage, the writer David was demonstrating his confidence in God's protection and God's deliverance in his life. He had already prayed in Psalm 27:11, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path. That's a great prayer for you and for I. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path. Here's a principle. The faith rest drill, which is problem solving device number 3, it must be learned if we wish to identify with David's action. You know, we have problem solving number 1, rebound, how do you deal with sin? Problem solving device number 2, the filling of the Holy Spirit, how does that overcome the actions of my flesh? And problem solving device number 3, the faith rest drill, standing on the promises of God. When God leads you, the path is going to be plain, not confusing. But you have to learn to be patient. You have to learn to be patient. Listen to this word here, Proverbs 16:32. It's better to be patient than a warrior, and better to have self-control than to capture a city. Do you hear that? Patience is actually one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:22. So the filling of the Holy Spirit plus the faith rest drill gives you incredible patience and encouragement, which equates into spiritual strength, where the word said, take heart, spiritual strength. How does that come? It's the confidence in God's plan and confidence in God's provision. That's where your strength is demonstrated. So if you're really serious about reaching spiritual maturity, these points must be applied into your life, because spiritual growth will not happen overnight. I mean, if you have the desire to glorify God in your life, that's wonderful. I thank you for that. But you must understand the mechanics to the spiritual life, or else you're going to operate on emotions and eventually lose your momentum, spiritually speaking. And the warning is this: if you allow yourself to be recruited by the wrong pastor, then you're going to wind up doing things the wrong way and thinking all along you're glorifying God, and you're not. I really pity the man or the woman who stands in the pulpit and teaches things that are not true, things that have nothing to do with spiritual truth, and it's going on all across America today. Jeremiah 23 talks about it in verse 1 and 2, where God said through the prophet Jeremiah, woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture. This is what the Lord said. The Lord God of Israel says to the shepherds who tend to my people, because you scattered my flock, you drove them away, and you have not bestowed care upon them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord. The word evil is the key to it. The most evil thing in the world is organized religion that tries to get you to get emotional, tries to get you to get involved in crusader arrogance, and does not teach you the scriptures on how to live the Christian life. What is the spiritual life? So, what about it? I mean, over the years, I've watched believers pursue truth with great zeal, great determination, and the key was always to be consistent in the intake and metabolization of the Word of God. Listen, spiritual gluttony is certainly acceptable. It's fine to be spiritually a glutton. Jeremiah 15:16, your words were found and I ate them. That's good. Eat them as much as you can. And your word was to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. There's nothing wrong with eating and feeding on the word of God as much as you want. So do you hunger? Do you thirst for the word of God? Is it a priority in your life? And or does a simple 20-minute sermon on Sunday morning, does that satisfy your needs? Is that all you really need, a little 20-minute devotional? If that's the case, I promise you one thing. You will never fulfill your destiny. Never. Because you will not understand how the protocol plan of God operates. And you will substitute ritual for reality. You will burn out emotionally because of it, and you may wander on down the my way highway since you can't make it work. You say you want to be a good Christian. You say you don't want to do that again. I know I shouldn't do that, and you do it again. You don't understand how to be cleansed from the sin. You don't understand how to pick up your momentum. You don't even understand what spiritual growth is, and that's a sad, sad, sad thing. In Jeremiah 17:10, the Lord says, I search your heart. I test your mind. Even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. So all the time this is going on, God's looking right at. He's not looking at what you're wearing. He's not concerned with your image and your style. He's concerned with what you're thinking. He's testing your mind. Do you trust him? Do you obey him? Who exactly would be a mature believer? Could you answer that question? Who is a mature believer? Well, in my opinion, the mature believer is classified as a winner believer, both in time and in eternity. The mature believer I'm talking about is classified as an invisible hero because of his impact on human history. I mean, this is what you must become. I want you to be the mature believer of your generation. I want you to understand the spiritual life. This is where the danger is. Most people don't even know what it is. I mean, I challenge you to walk into your Sunday school class next Sunday or to walk into your church next week and say, who can tell me what the spiritual life is? And you will find most people don't have a clue, don't even understand what it is. You want to be a hero for God? It's an invisible hero because you have an impact on human history. Then grow to spiritual maturity. Your spiritual life must be number one, not your physical life. And your spiritual life is that immortal part of you that will last forever. It's in your soul. That's why God tests your mind. He wants to see what your spiritual life is like. What kind of confidence, what kind of courage, what kind of commitment do you have, spiritually speaking? And the mature believer, if we become that, will pass testing. We're going to be tested. Why do you think you're going to get through life without being tested? You're going to be tested. You're going to have to suffer. You have to. It's the only way to be tested. It's called momentum testing. And eventually maybe even evidence testing as you get older. But listen to 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape, so that you will be able to bear it. There's a divine promise right there for you to use in the faith rest drill. Are you going through a health test? Are you going through a financial test? Are you going through a people test? Are you going through some sort of unfair test? Read that verse and believe it. No testing, not temptation, but testing has overtaken you except what is common to man. You're not the only one that's gone through this. And God is faithful. He won't throw you under the bus. He won't abandon you. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But along with the testing, he will also make a way of escape. And the way of escape is to have confidence and courage and commitment in his plan so that you stand on the faith rest drill, stay filled with the Holy Spirit, have objective reality to what God's plan is, and tremendous happiness. Sharing the happiness of God. That's why Jesus said to his disciples, I've told you these things so that my joy might be in you and your joy might be full. Therefore, spiritual maturity is your divine objective. It's for you. It's the purpose for all the commands of Scripture related to time. You getting to spiritual maturity. And it's the only way you will ever glorify Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in time. And it is the basis for all temporal and all eternal rewards and all blessings. Being a spiritually mature Christian. Having a full spiritual life. That's what we're looking for. That's what I want for you. Can I give you some traits that you should begin to identify? How would you know if a person is a mature believer? I think I can give you some traits here that you can see. What's one of the first ones? He's spiritually independent. He's able to stand on his own two feet. He doesn't have to run over to some other Christian and say, "What do you think, brother? What should I do, brother?" Spiritually independent. That's the first step of spiritual self-esteem, being able to stand on your own two feet. Not having to run to the pastor and say, "Pastor, tell me what to do." I mean, I've had people even call me on the phone and say, "What should I do?" And unfortunately, I have to tell them, "I'm not a counselor. I'm not here to counsel you. I can't tell you that. God the Holy Spirit will tell you that. I can tell you to stay in the Word, but I'm not your counselor. You have to make a decision on your own. You have to be spiritually independent." That is not the way the church operates today. They want you to depend on the pastor, or at worst, depend on another believer and tell them what all your sins are and go confess your sins to someone else. Don't do that. Stay away from that. As you grow spiritually, you will learn to be spiritually independent, to stand on your own two feet, make your own decisions, and glorify God to the maximum in your life. Another trait of a spiritually mature believer is self-confidence. Self-confidence. Not unsure of yourself all the time. Not wondering, did I do the right thing all the time. Having self-confidence. Being able to make a decision, stand behind the decision, and not be intimidated by the decision. Also, another trait of a spiritually mature believer would be this, that you could meet and face every problem in your life with a maximum amount of inner happiness. The problem's not going to steal your happiness out of your life. The problem's not going to make you sad. You're not going to want to go sit in the corner and feel sorry for yourself and have a little pity party. Because there's no tragedy, no disaster, no difficulty, no heartache that can overcome the tremendous entrenchment, of the Word of God in your soul. You hear that? There's no tragedy, no disaster, no difficulty, no heartache that can overcome the tremendous entrenchment of the Word of God in your soul. And that's why you've got to have it. That's why you've got to be taught it. That's why you've got to be fed and feed up on the Word of God and be hungry for the Word of God. Whatever it takes to get it so that you grow in the grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here's another trait of a spiritually mature believer. He's mentally stable. What does that mean? It means he has the ability to think in the terms of the doctrine he's metabolized in his life. And he can apply it to every circumstance in his life. Can you do that? When you make a decision, can you bounce it off of doctrine, off of the Word of God? What does the Bible say about this? What does the Bible say about that? That's where your answers are found. That's where your stability comes from, so you don't second guess yourself. This is what the Bible says. This is what I'm going to do. And that gives you the confidence to know in every circumstance in life you're doing the right thing. That's Romans 12, 2 through 3, being fulfilled in your life. Stop thinking of yourself in terms of arrogance beyond what you should think, but think in terms of humility as God has assigned to each one of us a standard of thinking from His Word. That's the mature believer, standard of thinking from His Word. Another trait is a mature believer avoids being subjective. Subjective reality in the form of some sort of legalism, some sort of emotionalism, some sort of extreme asceticism or self-effacement, or some sort of fanatical or sociopathic behavior. What does it mean to be an ascetic? It means to be, you know, I'm a good Christian because I don't smoke and I don't drink and I don't cuss and I don't watch anything but G-rated movies and I don't do this and I don't do that. I'm an ascetic. You know, I only have one suit. I had a fella tell me one time, "Brother, if you really love God and you're called to the ministry, You should only have one suit and drive a Volkswagen Beetle. No, I don't think that's quite the way the Bible says. That's the ascetic. That's saying I'm spiritual because I have denied myself certain things. That's not true in the Bible. You have to stay away from that. Or legalism. I'm a great Christian because I don't do certain things. And legalism, then you judge other people that do that. So here's another trait. In spiritual maturity, a Christian will live his own life unto the Lord rather than as unto mankind. You're not here to please your neighbor. You're not here to please your buddies. You're here to please the Lord. Therefore, you must be able to control your life under to the Lord. Since the Lord really has all the controls and your volition is subordinate to the Lord, he's in a state of maximum happiness when he does that. So you have positive or negative volition. If you're a positive volition to the Word of God and you obey what God says to obey, then you will have maximum happiness in your life. Again, I go back to Luke. Happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's Word and who keep it. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. The more the Word of God you hear, the more the Word of God you metabolize, the more the Word of God you apply, the greater your happiness is, the more mature you will be. And nobody will be able to tell it. I mean, he won't be able to look at you. You're not going to have some kind of different look. You'll be thinking differently. A mature believer thinks different from other people. He doesn't think like other people think. He's totally confident. He's totally committed. He's totally mature. He lives his life as unto the Lord, not unto somebody else's subjective opinion, what he should or shouldn't do. So if you are a believer in spiritual maturity, one other thing that's very key for you is you're not a possessive person. You're not possessive of those that you love. And you can avoid the pitfalls of being jealous. I mean, that'll destroy you right there. Jealousy, the Bible says, will rot your bones out. No mature believer is jealous of his wife or jealous of their husband or jealous of other people that have things they don't have. The mature believer does not seek to control other people. He doesn't seek to interfere in the lives of other people. And he doesn't seek to control people. He's free from powerless, and that's a lot of politicians today. Most of the politicians are full of power lust. Elect me, put me in charge, and I'll straighten things up, and I'll run the ship, and you'll be happy. Well, that's maybe, maybe not. Who knows? But a lot of politicians operate on power lust. The mature believer is not possessive of these things. He doesn't interfere in the lives of other people, and he's free of power lust. Another trait about a mature believer is they have a strong personal sense of destiny. This includes organized thinking and organized lifestyle, which means he's in self-command all the time. He has poise. He has control. He regulates his life. He restrains the things he doesn't need to have in his life. He's a mature believer. That statement right there is incredible. He has organized thinking. He has an organized life. He's not a daydreamer. He's not a schemer. And he has organized thinking. In other words, he sets out, okay, here's my routine today. I'm going to get up. I'm going to pray. I'm going to have my breakfast, and then I'm going to study. Or go to work and study when I come home, whatever it is. But I'm going to make time to study today. I'm going to make time to sit down and get God's Word. I'm going to feed on God's Word today. And then what I learn, I'm going to organize my life around that. Because I'm going to command myself. I'm in charge of my life. And has great poise. You know what that means? It means the ability to think under pressure. Great self-control and self-restraint. The mature believer also glorifies God in his body according to Philippians 1, 20 and 21. Listen carefully. Philippians 1, 20 and 21, according to my intense concentration and resultant confidence that in nothing shall I be disgraced. But with all integrity, even now as always before, that Christ shall be glorified in my body, for me to live as Christ and to die as profit. This is how you glorify God in your body. This should be your verse. You need to highlight that verse in your Bible. that in nothing shall I be disgraced, but should have all integrity. Now, as always, Christ will be glorified in my body. He lives in you. He indwells you. And your job is to replicate the thinking of Christ in your mind. That's why the Bible says in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Another trait that the mature believer has is maximum personal sense of destiny. That's a problem-solving device that we know as problem-solving device number 6, personal sense of destiny. The mature believer no matter what happens in life, he relates all of the good and all of the bad to the fact that what? God has a purpose for his life. God has a plan for his life. And so there's nothing that sets him back, nothing that makes him worry, nothing that gets him discouraged. God's plan marches on, and you are along for the ride, good or bad, makes no difference. It doesn't affect you. It doesn't affect your happiness. It doesn't affect what you think, because you're a rock-solid, mature, spiritually believer. Your spiritual life is flowing and growing, and you are replicating Christ in your thinking, glorifying him to the maximum. In my life, Christ shall be glorified in my body, Philippians 1, 20-21. Again, those famous words, for me, living as Christ and dying as prophet. I hope that's your words. I hope that's your testimony. I hope that's your life. And I hope you've learned something today listening to me. I'm going to try to come back and talk more on what the spiritual life is. I appreciate your prayer support. Appreciate your encouragement. Mostly for listening to us today. I know we've been 30 minutes here, but you stuck with me. I'm proud of you. If I can help, don't hesitate to write. Don't hesitate to call 800-831-0718. So until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.